We do have a quorum. Mr. Devine will not be present this morning, but we have two members of the court here and myself, which constitutes the quorum. We'll call the meeting of the Marshall County Fiscal Court to order. We have several guests this morning, and we have a bid opening, and we'll try to get through the agenda just as soon as possible, not delay any of you. I know many of you are businessmen and working men, and we'll try to get to the bid letting just as soon as possible. We have Ronnie Hargis here this morning. Ronnie, I believe you want to address the court in regard to a road. All right, you've got the floor.
Well, only thing I want to do tonight, we've got the court here saying, you know, we can't build a road. The mayor spoke to me this week.
Okay. Ronnie, it's been our policy, and I told Aletta and Aletta's sister that it's always been our policy to try to keep roads open to cemeteries and to help with roads. Now, after I talked with them, I talked with Martin Johnson, who was an attorney in this case, and he suggested a talk with Judge Laster, that Judge Laster had said that that the road was to be built privately and not using county equipment. Now, Judge Laster has not indicated that to me. Do you remember anything like that being said in the hearing? Well, I think our position would be, and Mr. Lovitz would be, like I told Aletta, we have no objections to helping on that road to a cemetery as long as there's no court order, you know, barring us against it. And I will talk to Judge Laster, and like I told them, I don't know, I can't tell you just exactly when we'll get to it, because we, you know, with the road conditions the way they are, but barring, I'll just leave it this way, barring any order against it from the circuit court, and I think Wayne would agree with me that we'll try to do all we can to help you fix that road.
Right.
I can't give you a date on it, Ronnie, but we'll just as soon as we can.
We don't expect
you. We've got a little news, you know, over the weekend, some way or another, you know, that there was a, you know, a little write-up in there that y'all's going to have to do that private, they say. And I come in yesterday and talked to the judge about it. I didn't want to get involved in something, you know. And I told him
to
check it out, you know.
We didn't want to
talk about it. Things like this gets going, well, you can always expect a few rumors, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Well,
so you have to look out for them, too.
I'll go to the pastor and let him explain it to me.
Okay.
If he says we got to do we won't bother you anymore.
Okay.
But we, you know, as long as there's no court order against it, we'll be glad to help. We just can't get involved, you know, if there's a court order against it, of course, then we could.
But
give me a call, Ronnie, after you talk to the judge, would you?
Okay.
Well,
and I'll try to see you. Well, I hadn't talked to the judge, but we were told that the ruling was that the road could be built, but it would be y'all's responsibility to build the road. Now, if that's the case, then of course that would bar us from doing it. But if that's not the case, we'll be glad to assist you in building that road.
We thank you.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
And just give me a call, Ronnie, at the office or at the house, either one.
Okay, thank you.
Also this morning we have as a guest Mr. Charlie LaShaw. Charlie is chairman of the Marshall County Senior Citizens. Charlie, I assume you want to address the court this morning.
Well, I didn't expect to be able to do it so quick. I have a petition here, the undersigned petition of Marshall County Fiscal Court to accept our road Oak Street as a county road for maintenance. And I have all the property owners' signatures here, including the deed book and page numbers, and also signed by Lakeview Subdivision, Will Ed Bushock.
This road has been paved. It has 60-foot right-of-way. It has a blacktop surface. It meets far as I know, all the requirements. We will have to have John to go out and take a look at it. Gordon, that's in your, is that yours or Bubby's?
That's in Bubby's.
Bubby's.
It's in Sledview, isn't it, sir?
Just,
Sledview?
Not quite. No. It's Lakeview.
Lakeview.
Subdivision.
It's off Ridge Road there, isn't it, Charlie?
Just up Ridge Road and this little ways and First Street
that's
by
Bubby's.
The,
yes, that's
by
Bubby's.
The, the wood rail fence there. That's, comes around and it's a hill there. Whenever I want to get out, I can. Especially when there's snows, you know.
And but you do have the blacktop surface.
Oh, it has blacktop.
Well, gentlemen, I think what we'll need to do is have John and Bubby go out there and view this road and bring back the motion at the next court meeting to formally take this road in.
Mr. Michelle, I need a little more information. Do you know if he is married, his wife's name, husband?
Husband is dead here.
Okay, so she's a widow.
He's married.
Okay, Charlie, we'll be taking formal action on this at the next meeting. Bubby and our road engineer, Mr. Holland, will be out there in the meantime to view the road drawing and bring back their proposal.
I appreciate it. Can I still sit in here and listen?
I mean, sure can. Okay. Sure can. Be glad to have you. Okay. Gentlemen, I'm going to deviate from the agenda just a little because we do have several businessmen here. Different insurance companies, and I know these men are busy. Being an ex-debit man myself, I know they probably got some collections to make, policies to sell. So if nobody has any objection, we'll deviate from the agenda and at this time have the bid openings for the county insurance, life insurance policy, the proposal that was in both newspapers, county newspapers, for the past couple of weeks. Do I have everybody's proposal that is here representing a company? Morgan Trevathan and Gunn, National Life, who's representing National? National have a rep, okay. Peel and Holland. American General Life, John. Commonwealth, Lynn and Ivan. Kentucky Central. All right. Gentlemen, we'll just open these in no particular order. The first proposal here is from the National Life and Accident Insurance Company. Insurance company put forth a bid of 55 cents for $1,000 of insurance. Total cost for the county would be $358.05 per month. An additional 7 cents for $1,000 would be added for accidental death. We did ask that the bid include accidental death benefits. So Roger, if you'd figure another 7 cents on that and give me a total figure, because that total monthly figure there would not be correct, because I'd want to add that 7 cents per thousand. And we're asking for $5,000 coverage on each employee.
Do
another proposal that's not complete. This is from Morgan Trevathan and Gun Insurance Company. Dear Judge Miller, due to a mix-up in communications, the only group term life insurance rate we can provide at this time for 132 employees of the Marshall County Fiscal Court is 31 cents per 100, per $1,000 of life and accidental and death benefits. If you could extend the time proposal for 10 days, I'm sure other proposals would be more competitive. Well, we did advertise. It was properly advertised. I'm of opinion we should not extend it for 10 days. We have people here with their bids.
Right, and then we'll have to, multiply that times five, whatever final figure we come up with.
31 cents per thousand. 31 cents per thousand. Proposal is the Peel and Holland Insurance Company of Benton. Brad Colson is the agent. The carrier is United States Fidelity and Guarantee Company. Their bid is $332.50 per month. John, let me make sure I understand your bid here. It's I'm sorry. That's total volume, You're talking about 5,000 per individual, but you're talking about total volume here on your second page there. Third page, excuse me. Yes, okay, I see. All right, this proposal is from the American General Life Insurance Company. John Roberts is the agent. Third page, John, $285.49. Is that a monthly cost?
I think they may have done 131 employees.
I couldn't hear you all that well, John. I did hear you say it would be, the benefits would...
Our benefits will increase by 50% at age 65, an additional 50% at age 70, and terminate at age 75. And so that's the reason for $413,750 of volume.
Okay. All right, let me ask you this. In your proposal, will the employees have the option at their retirement date to take over coverage at your standard rates?
That's right. There's guaranteed conversion option on the life insurance left in force at any time the employee leaves the county. Any time that he would leave, he can convert it without evidence of insurability at standard rates.
All right.
Does your other bids follow the same pattern, I mean, of reducing at 65?
Beg your pardon, Adam.
Do the other bids follow the same pattern of reducing at age 65?
Peel and Holland has a notation that at age 65 there's a 50% reduction, and the other two bids thus far don't have any comment concerning a reduction.
No comment. National and MPG. Joe, do you happen to know? Okay, Pete submitted that. So.
Our proposal, Mike, does include premium waiver for disability. That is to say that we will pay the cost of the insurance program for a disabled employee provided that disability begins prior to the 60th birthday. If disability begins prior to the 60th birthday, the death claim will be paid when death occurs in the future, no matter when.
All right. The bid from American General Life Insurance Company is $285.49 per month. $285.49 a month. Our next proposal is Commonwealth Life Insurance Company, Louisville, Kentucky. Lynn Hill is the agent. Mr. Ivanzone, the agency manager of the Commonwealth Office of Western Kentucky, is here with Lynn. Also includes the accidental death dismemberment coverage. The bid from Commonwealth Insurance Company is a total monthly premium of $405.95. This includes the benefits to reduce 50% at age 65, accidental death and dismemberment insurance benefits terminates at age 70. Of course, this also has conversion benefits.
Michael, I noticed the volume of insurance there, now that was based on a volume of 655,000. I don't know if we, the rate is per thousand is 62 cents. Now, we must have
miscalculated on insurance of the good horse. And 131 people, that'd be 655,000.
That's right. 132 people. Whatever the list
shows. Broke down to 62 cents per thousand items. Is that what you said?
132.
Let me make a
notation. 132.
That's right.
132.
Yeah.
I think it's 132 employees.
Roger, report was on the census sheet.
133?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, whatever that census shows is right.
Were there any employees presently that are past the age of 65?
No.
I have one at age 71. That's the office.
Same
one was used
for
everyone, I
don't
think, was it?
Right. Everyone had the same. Right.
Yeah.
So it has to be all the same for all of them.
I can't recall anyone in 71.
Can't
recall.
The guy's name was
Riley. Riley. Okay. All right. Landfill. All right. Okay. Sorry. You're absolutely right.
So there would then be 132 employees covered. Is that right? What would his coverage be? 50% reduction?
50% to age 75.
Okay. And then terminate at age 75.
It's going to depend on the plan, Mike. Mine may be a little different. I hear some that are reducing 50% at age 65, and there's nothing said thereafter. I will reduce again at age 70 and then terminate at age 75. So there may be some variations there in the proposal.
I think we're going to have a session again, just like we did on the,
yeah,
on the oil, so now I'm going on to
it. Yeah. Or National Life.
Let's see. National Life. Now we broke it down to thousands, 62 cents a thousand. We're converting them all to a thousand. We've got 50 cents a thousand. I'm not real sure, Dan.
If you convert all of them per thousand, then you can tell what you
got. That's what we're trying to do, but we're not real sure that we're working backwards.
The rate on my proposal is 45 cents per thousand for the life and a nickel for the AD&D.
Okay. Got that one on
that right.
50 cents a thousand on that one. Okay. We converted back to that basis on that one.
Our next proposal is from the Kentucky Central Insurance Company, Lexington, Kentucky. Joe Rogers is the agent. The rate quoted by Kentucky Central. I think you've just got the $3.10 per employee. You can break that down. You've got basic $5,000 life insurance per month at $2.75 with an accidental and death dismemberment with benefits, $0.35 per month, making a total of $3.10.
$4.920
per month.
It's $3.10 per employee times, you say, 132 employees. Is that correct? Are you talking about $4.920
per month. Gentlemen, those are all the bids we have. We will not accept any more bids. The court may act at this time, or they may want time to review each of the plans.
I make a motion we go into executive session for a few minutes.
We go into executive session. We have a second to that motion. Any discussion?
Before we go, do you have the percentages and so on and so forth that you need?
Well, Joe, does your 62 per thousand include accidental death and dismemberment?
It includes everything.
Okay.
Okay. And I think we'll find that most of the cases probably will be about the same because you use that, you know, that particular proposal to, you know, set up for the others. So that's going to be obvious.
We're going to have to put a little chart together to compare.
Well, all right, so we have a motion and second on the floor. We go into executive session. No discussion. All in favor of the motion, say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Gentlemen, let's just go right across the hall for a moment. It might be that we're going to have for the benefit of the press and those who have kept waiting. We again looked at the proposals. We feel like that we're going to need a little more time. We will not accept any more proposals. The only proposals that will be considered are those that were put before the court this morning. But it was the consensus of the group that we would not take action until the next fiscal court meeting, which will be the third court meeting in August. I would ask for a court member to formally make that a formal motion.
I'll make a motion we postpone this the third week in August to allow time to study and investigate and see exactly what the figures are.
Well, we have a motion on the floor by Gordon Hargrove that we postpone any formal action on the insurance proposals until the second court meeting in August, which I believe will be the 15th of August. Second to that motion. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. The motion carries. Gentlemen, we may want to discuss your particular proposal in the meantime with you. I think I know everybody here except Roy from National Life was not here.
We have his card.
We have his card. We may be calling you individually to discuss some points of your policy and give you time. And if we do it for one, we'll do it for everybody. We haven't decided yet that we will do that, but we may. We'll give you plenty of time to come in and sit down with us and explain your policy further if we feel a need to do that. Yes, sir.
Michael, do you consider the bid near the ladder for 31 cents a thousand? Do you consider that as a complete bid?
That's another item that we're discussing.
No,
that was one of the things that we discussed at length.
We do not consider that a complete bid at this time. Because we don't know if all it, now he does say that they have the additional death and accident benefits included. That's in the letter. But we would afford him the same opportunity to speak with us as we would afford you to further clarify it. It's kind of, well, this seems awful low to me. I don't know. It just seems awful low.
One thing I want to throw out that you all might consider. We will permit an employee through payroll deduction to convert the additional premium necessary to make that permanent insurance. In other words, there's about $3.50 there that the county's going to be paying, $3.15. We'll use that money to pay on the permanent cost of his life insurance program if he would like to make it permanent. At any age, he has guaranteed rights to keep that policy at the rate that he bought into. Because in the program that he's paying $7 a month, which is $5,000 life insurance, when he leaves the county, he can keep it at $7 a month. The county's money then would be used, it would be plowed into a permanent life insurance program if he'd like to. That might add a little sweetening to our proposal. I don't think it was the cheapest, but it might.
Well, gentlemen, we appreciate you coming this morning. We'll see you again at the, I don't know, I may not be here at the next court meeting. If not, of course, the meeting will be held with or without me. I may have to be in Winchester, but business goes on, with or without me. But we'll be probably talking to each of you in the meantime. Thank you very much. Gentlemen, try to get back to the agenda. John, on the equipment, do you have any report on the equipment? Is there equipment back in shape? How many?
Just got one grader down. It should be back going today. The mower is supposed to be ready for me to go get in the morning.
Very good.
Hey, have you heard anything, John, from the mow trim? Is that the one you're speaking of? Or
more? Supposed to be ready for me to pick it up in the morning.
What about that other mower that you
I hadn't heard the thing on it.
John, we got a letter from on equipment from the Bulk Manufacturing Company of Carlisle, Pennsylvania, the firm that we ordered our snowplows from. Mm-hmm. They have acknowledged that that they have received our order and will be shipped. And they'll be letting us know when we can pick them up. But they have sent us their acknowledgement. Our order has been placed. It's in the process. Okay.
Not heard anything with trucks.
No,
I
have not.
Radio.
I finally got a little something to report on that. Just a minute. Okay. I was beginning to wonder on that, Gordon. But Mr. Belcher called this morning. Okay, court rental space. Roger received some information, and I talked to Rhonda yesterday from the newspaper, and I didn't know what she was talking about. She knew more than I did about it because I hadn't talked to Roger, but Roger did get some information, and Roger, if you want to report to
the court. Met with Mike last night, gave him some good news I can pass on to everybody today. I spoke to Lee King, who is Deputy Director of the Administrative Office of the Courts, and they dispatched in Friday's mail, and we may very well have it today, a check to the county for $5 a square foot for all of the new office space that the district court used for the first 6 months of the year. And that check for the entire first 6 months of the year is on its way down here to us. We'll have that, the county will have that very shortly. The other news I have is about after July 1. This takes care of January 1 through June 30. I spoke to Maston Childress, who is the Deputy Commissioner of the Department for Finance. And the Department for Finance now handles the court's office space and the court space. They took it out of the administrative office of the courts and gave it to finance. And we were to have received a check July 1 for the month of July. Well, here it is, August 1, we haven't received any checks at all. I talked to Maston, and he says they have not paid anybody in the state anything from and after July 1. He said the whole process, and he's ready to pass the buck to anybody he can, and the people I called that he said call, pass the buck right back to him. So somebody up there in the administrative office of the courts or the Department of Finance just simply sat on their duff until the last minute and are just now getting organized on it. But I did get a promise from Maston Childress that we would get, Marshall County would get priority. We would be among the first counties considered when they start sending out the new checks. However, he says there won't be any checks mailed to any counties until end of September, 1st of October. It's at least 2 months, maybe longer away, before they can complete the processing and mail the checks out. Now, we will receive 4% of the total construction cost of the facilities used by the courthouse. Now, Mike and I need to get this information together from the records of the courthouse and send up there to him. But what we do is we take the initial construction cost of the original courthouse, the cost of the first addition, the cost of remodeling the courthouse, the major remodeling we had a couple of years ago, and all remodeling. Administrative office of the courts will pay their pro rata share, water, electricity, whatever other utilities we have. They'll pay their pro rata share of the utilities. So our checks under the new system are going to be substantially larger than they were for the first 6 months of the year. We're going to be realizing a good big chunk of money. What we have to do is be sure that we put in every possible penny that we can in configuring the construction base for the courthouse. Because I talked to Maston Childress, and he says the way they're running through this thing, he said, whatever figure you send up here, if you've got some documentation for it, we're going to use it. So what we've got to do is put all costs together that we can, send to Frankfurt, allocate the floor space, and they'll give us 4% a year of that, plus their share of the utilities. But it will be October before we see a check on it. The other check will be here this week, and maybe in today's mail.
What square footage is that figured on?
On those offices down there?
Yes.
456 square feet, which is just the county attorney's office. Because, see, under this is
two offices that,
that I moved out of. Because that's all they paid for under this first 6 months. They just paid for new office space not previously occupied by the court. And the only new space they took was mine. So we've got 456 square feet of office space that they're going to be sending us a check on.
That's good.
So that was good news.
Roger, yeah. How many times square foot is that for you, or months?
I don't know how they figure that out. Rhonda and I were trying to figure out how much money that's going to be. She asked me how much money is the county going to get, and I sat down and figured up $5 a square foot a month, and hell, it was a lot of money. That's a tremendous amount.
At a 10 by 10 room, that's $500 a year, so that's what I figured.
That must be what it is. It's an annual figure, which means we would receive
originally it was per quarter.
We just have to wait and see how it's set up.
Receive 4 payments a year. That was how it was originally set up for the administrative office of the court. Since that time, of course, that's all been thrown out the window.
Yeah.
And now they've put it over in Chuck Lambert's shop over in finance. What they're going to do with it, only the drones and Franklin's know. Just have to wait and see.
Hold up.
Thank you, Roger.
On this actual construction cost, going back to the cost of the original courthouse, there's no provision for the ratio of $19 and $17.
And we have to use actual dollars, but we can add in everything we can come up with, all remodeling of every kind. The new roof, the retrofit program, everything goes in. We just put all of that in.
Good. Gentlemen, next on the agenda under new business, radios. I received a call this morning from the gentleman in Owensboro that has been working with us. Name escaped me. What's his name, sir? John Belcher. John had quite a
to problems getting our frequency. He told us originally that we could not get a high-band local government frequency. You know, we have to go low band. Well, that has changed. We have been assigned a frequency, high-band local government frequency. 155.715 will be our frequency, 45 watts. He will be with us at the next court meeting to work out final details and arrangements. Put our system into operation. Before we move on, and I've sat here and I've forgotten your name, sir.
Jim Perry. Good name.
No kin to Roger. Jim is with the Department of Justice or Department of Corrections. They have a program with their pre-release people that Jim, I asked Bill Lovett to have Jim to come down and explain it to the court and to see if we would be interested in participating. And Jim, I apologize to you. I had all these insurance people in here, and I was going to get you on earlier, and I'm sorry. I'll give you the floor and let you explain the program.
Quite all right. Although I'm not kin to Mr. Perry sitting down all the end, I'll take all the credit to him. I'm going to throw my about 6 months ago, the Bureau of Corrections of the state of Kentucky started a new program, which was an on-the-job training program dealing with probationers and parolees and institutional release cases. We have been offering this program to the individual employers in what my first supervisory district is, which is a 16-county area. We've had a lot of good results with this program with private employers. Now, I talked to our local probation officer over here last week, Mr. Billy Lovett, and he thought that Martin County might be in participating. The program is based on a 50% reimbursement scale for 800 hours of training. And it's provided on that type of basis, like I said, to your private or nonprofit organization. For example, if the county employees paid $4, the state reimbursed them $2. If they are provided some type of training program. There is a certain amount of paperwork involved in the program. There's two forms that have to be filled out each month and submitted to Frank for reimbursement procedure. The number of trainings allowable is 25% of the full-time workforce that's available. The only real job training that cannot be approved would be things that depend upon conditions, seasonal type occupations, professional occupations such as doctors, and so on. And the program at least has to be at least 80 hours of duration of training, which is usually not much of a problem. It's intended that the OJT assistance will be available to all employers and provide year-round employment. Any employers and is on strike or on lockout conditions is not eligible for its time allocation. And basically, that's the program, real short. There has to be a contract filled out and submitted to Frankfurt. There is a, I can make this available to you, a copy of this available to you and to the business board for your approval or at least to look at it if you'd like. And also we have a set of assurances and certifications you'd probably like to look over also in the copies.
All right. One question I have, you say 80 hours of training.
800.
Pardon me?
800.
800 hours. Okay. All right.
It's approximately 5 months.
All right. It's a five-month program. Approximately. Now, once the 800 hours has been achieved, then the state will no longer reimburse half the cost.
That's correct.
All right. Now, does the county, or any other employee for that matter, have an obligation to continue that person in unsubsidized employment at their present position once the program ends? In other words, if we take a trainee, we train, then are we locked in with this person to continue him in full-time employment with the county?
From what experience we've had so far, the individuals that stay with the program make the reports. I don't know if that answers the question.
What's your ratio of turnover so far, people that did not complete the program, for whatever reason?
So far, we started in just the West Kentucky districts about 6 people and 4 in the state. Now, for all practical purposes, this does not lock you in to keep any employer if you want to let him go, or her go, it might be. You have all the rights and privileges of discipline this individual as far as laying them off or firing them for whatever reasons you might like. And if that occurs, you can replace the position without losing the hours up to the time the man was let go of the balance of 800 hours and still have the position.
All right, then who has the authority to hire this individual? Now, can we pick and choose, or do we have to, if we go into an agreement and you have a pre-release prisoner that comes to Marshall County on the pre-release program, which we participate in, you have, say you have 4 people on a pre-release program here, then do we have the option if we want to take one of these people or which one it will be by the interview process?
Right. You have all the rights and privileges of any normal hiring procedure. If you want to interview 6 or 7 people, 2 positions, for instance, that's your privilege. We're not saying that we want to stick a lot of people down here into job positions.
Mean that people only within the county that are
right.
Probated, or would they come from another county, only Marshall County?
Well, now, they would work within your area of Marshall County. They might be transferred to another area.
Okay,
but like I said, you've got that final say so on what you would like to hire them or not to hire them.
If we had people within the county, then we could use up if there was demand for more from other counties, they could come here for work.
No, it's not an inter-county type of thing. You have a certain amount of positions you apply. Let's say you filled out 4 positions in the contract. If you can fill all 4 of those positions in Marshall County, that's fine. If you only fill 2, we won't transfer 2 men from out of county here just to fill those 2 positions. Because there's probably a need for 2 more just shortly. And we don't want to tie up those 2 positions. We're also thinking on our end of the market how well it's going to work for us. We don't want somebody living 3 counties over here to try to drive to work to make you a good employee because you just don't forget the transportation.
It's a little different from the home JT program itself. It's offered to private employers, so if we're agreeing to take a freezing or probated prisoner.
Main difference,
and we have a government president for our employees, but
the main difference is, first of all, like you said, our particular direction is whether the money is designated for us in my career, this category, that's the way the grant is made. Second of all, we can offer a flat 800 hours for any job position that we have. Now, with regular seat of money, what you're talking about, Department of Labor has a DOT manual. They have to use the job skill difficulty to determine the number of hours available. It might be 100 for one job, or it might be 500 for another job. We can also play 800 hours. Of course, our training period only lasts 30 minutes.
I think some of y'all have any questions.
Any more questions I can answer? I'll be glad.
Gentlemen, I would, before we take any action or decide what we're going to do, I'd like to have the opportunity to study the materials that they can make available to me. I don't feel informed enough to give you any recommendations this time.
Make a motion to table it until the county executive has time to read the material, see what's taking place, make a recommendation to his part.
A motion on the floor that we table any action in this program until I have a chance to go through it further and talk with you in better detail. Second by Wayne Lovett. All in favor say aye. Any opposed, nay. Motion carries. Again, I apologize for keeping you waiting so long, and I'll get with you, or if you'll leave that information, have my girls copy it off for me. Why? Yes, fine.
It's a lot of information.
Okay, fine. It'll be fine.
Thank you
very much. Gentlemen, on your agenda, the CETA update. The reason I included that, there is a meeting that will be held in Washington, D.C., initiated by CAICO with the entire Kentucky delegation, the seven congressmen and the two United States senators. Judge Castleman and Judge Frazier will be representing the purchase area at this meeting. The CETA rewrite, of course, is scheduled to take effect in October, and there are some more major changes in CETA that are being considered. CAICO was asking that the congressional delegation of Kentucky and our senators to try to keep CETA in its present form and to not dilute it any more than it already is. I talked to Joe Swinehart of Senator Ford's office on Friday. Kentucky does not have, there is some abuse that they have found in Kentucky on the CETA program, but not near the abuse has occurred in other states. One example he gave me, they ran a raffle somewhere in Tennessee and a CETA job was used as a prize. And they can document that. I thought he was joking, but he said, I'm telling you the God honest truth, we document it. And that's the type of thing that's got CETA in trouble. I think we run a good CETA program here. I think our record of placement, veterans' preference, we tried to follow the guidelines completely. But Judge Castleman and Judge Frazier will be representing us on that. I just didn't feel like I could be away for 3 days this time. Okay. Gentlemen, the bills are before you. I suppose you need a little time to go through those. Is there any other business needs to be brought up?
What about the trucks, Judge? And a sign machine.
I've heard no word. The trucks, everything, all the paperwork is in. The only thing we're waiting on now is when they tell us to go pick them up. We'll have to take the check with us when we pick them up. And take license plates, put on them, and drive them back. But I hadn't heard it. The sign machine, that man was supposed to be back with us, and I have not heard one thing from him.
Could we sign him?
Would it be any way at all? If he's not going to be here, we need him for the next meeting. If he's not coming, let's try to contact another company.
That's right. Would it be any way at all to maybe find out something on the trucks in a certain date or where we stand? Sure they haven't lost their name?
Yeah,
well, they lost their name on that gravel deal, and I'm still unhappy about it. Roger.
I talked with George Little over at Reed Crush Stone mm-hmm. about that. And ask them if they had any more information on it. And their present status on this, they've rebid for the second one in August, but they weren't able to give me much help on running it down as to what they thought had done wrong. Either that or they just weren't willing to make a statement about where they thought maybe it wound up.
Well, I thought
they might have a
little. Well, I talked to Calvin Grayson about it. You know, I told you I talked to Secretary Grayson in Louisville about it. Secretary Grayson had no answer either. He called his office. They had no answer other than to say they did not receive a bid. But Reed contends that they did send a bid.
Oh, Reed, yeah, they sent the bid.
And I I feel like they did because they do every year, you know, and I just can't think that Reed Crush Stone Company, as big an organization as they are, would forget to send a bid. For two counties, well, Livingston County, their home county, the same thing happened. And it's just not conceivable that the two closest counties to Reed, where they do a lot of business, they do all our business.
But that was one of the things I was going to report on. I had contacted George over there. You know, he's a troubleshooter for Reed Crush Stone, and they just, they weren't able to give me any information as to what they thought it happened on. Calvin Grayson's office wasn't able to trace it. Gordon, at one time, did you tell me that you had some information that maybe the bid had been logged in or had been received and then lost in the office?
No, the only thing I had was Reed Crush Stone, which...
They told us that they had sent the bid.
But I have not yet understand why. When I understand what Mr. Miller said, but, you know, I would love to question him some more.
I don't understand why when they didn't receive any bids, they didn't ask around a little bit.
Yeah, well, since this is his duty as a source of support, when it did not come back to him, then therefore it all clicked.
He should have said, we got a bid coming up, we haven't got any bids on. Let me find out what's happening. Let me call Reed and see if they didn't get their bid then.
Our good governor and his little talk about it made it very plain that some things such as this has happened, and he had to go say, hey, y'all do this.
Right.
And, you know,
sure it is.
I think if we went to the good governor and say, we've lost a month in this,
good
I think he would be very unhappy.
I agree with you.
Well, I think we'll have an opportunity on Thursday morning to talk with the district engineer about it. Now, another thing I was a little upset about, and I expressed this to Calvin Grayson. Wayne was also upset with us when we were talking about the off-system program and the bridge on the Lila Green Road. Mr. Miller just didn't seem too interested in it at all.
He said that was just dead, and yeah. Almost, didn't he?
Calvin Grayson was just shocked when I told him I was having problems. Because he's, and Grayson's words to me, Mike, this is the only pot of money that I'm having troubles
getting rid of.
Spending the funds. And I told him our problem. He got on the phone. They called me. They gave me a status report. And I passed it on to Wayne. But our bridge is in the process. The design, it's gone to design. And
well, what got me tore up, see, well, I'd had several phone calls from out there, see, and there'd been some rumors going, this and that, you know, and back on the track of it again, you know, see what had happened. And after he said what he did, well, I was pretty well down in it, you know, because he seemed like he just dropped the whole deal and geared less. Now, that's the way he seemed about that program.
Well, that's kind of the attitude.
But
Secretary Grayson did follow through. He kept his word to me. They had me a status report by Monday afternoon, and he said he would. And they assured me they would stay after me. So Secretary Grayson has done what he said he would do so far, so I believe he will.
We've got one.
But we're still talking about another year before it gets the design work done and the actual structure put up. At least. So, anyway, that's where we are on that particular program. Gentlemen, is there any other business that needs to come before the court this morning?
We need to talk about our trade number. The grader for a dozer. Talked about that last month, you know. John, have you got any news on that for us today?
International and Caterpillar and AC working me up the trigger. They didn't get it to me. But I was wondering, too, we used to get a new piece of equipment on the rental basis.
Lease purchase.
Lease purchase. Use our old grader as, instead of calling it a trade-in, whatever they valued it at would go on that and pay it up for so long and then take over. I don't know if we can do that and not have to go through the bid procedure.
You can.
Or you think that might be the best route to go?
Well, I think it would because I tell you what, boys.
I have
had it with
some of these equipment dealers to sell us a piece of equipment, and then they don't come around again until we get ready to bid something out.
That's right.
In my opinion, we've had one, we have had one equipment dealer that has really tried to service us and see that his equipment is running. If we've got problems, get to him, and that's Gene Walker from Wayne Supply Company.
Wayne has got, I went Friday to pick up some stuff, and Caterpillar was having a demonstration. I went by theirs, and I run their new articulating grader that they had there. They had a new six dozer, and it has 25 hours on it. That's what it, it's just a demonstrator, what they're using out there. And it's equipped with everything that we need, except the arms going front. He said he had them there with no problem. We can get that dozer right there at a discount price because of it being the demonstrator plus all this other. If we wanted to go rental basis, that there is a good buy. I would think, I don't know, just Gene didn't get no price just exactly what it would be, but indication he gave me, what he gave me on the grader was more than what Alabama was going to give for it.
$23,500.
I'd rather give more and get service, not have
that total cost of the tractor.
Really
you
down ahead
you bought that tractor cash, it would cost you $71,121. And your grader's trade-in on a lease purchase at $23,500. Make the total cost on a lease purchase agreement for Wayne Supply Company $47,621.
Brand new rig.
And
he also told me he put the screen across the back of the cab, which has been in the sweeps on the front.
We can deliver it.
Tomorrow.
Okay, you don't have to have no business, right?
Not if you go lease purchase.
Can you swing it with the budget?
Well, That's the next thing that I'd like to have between now and the next court meeting, or between now and Thursday. Okay, now on a lease purchase, of course, this $23,500 could pay our lease purchase agreement for a year or so, and then it'll throw us into the next fiscal year before we have to actually. $23,500 would be what they would allow us on the trade-in on that grader, which would go with just make monthly payments on your lease.
The reason I say we need that dozer now.
Right.
I'll be putting a motion for it. If you don't like
we're
it,
we're in trouble.
I'll make a motion. I'll make a motion we buy this. You recommend this piece of equipment?
Not buy now, Gordon.
No.
Lease purchase.
Okay.
Lease.
Or is this, you recommend this piece of equipment?
Yeah.
Okay, I'll make a motion that we go to lease equipment, providing two phone calls with the county judge, checks the budget, and recommends it to John Holland to go ahead and make the move.
Okay. Second to that motion? Second by Wayne Lovett. Any discussion on the motion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. Motion carries. I'll check into it.
All right. My grader has been down about a month, and brother, I'm hurting.
Well, I didn't get any work out of our dozer, you know. It went down on me, you know.
The dozer's down there now.
My time, you know.
Who? Who's got it?
Dozer. Now,
it's dozer. Pick it up and take it over Wayne, then.
Wayne's been, I call Wayne first. But they don't have a head to push the pins out.
Is that building there on that KWI or somebody where the boat's going to work on above his grader? I look for it.
Yeah.
On that transmission?
It's all together. It's all in on one bill. I seen it this morning.
Well, I don't think we ought to pay that bill. I was looking for
it. Well, I talked to John about that, you know.
What they tell me, it's working all right, all except the shifting. It's hard to get in reverse. They tell me that's some of the parts on shifting arm, something more on the outside, not what they done inside, in other words.
I don't buy that. That thing was pulled out, they took it down there to fix it, brought back, put back in by our labor. That cost us double labor, cost me at least a day on that grader of mine, being knocked off of it. had to pull it out and bring it back, and it don't work now. And if it's shifting rods bad on the outside, they ought to fix it while they had it there.
Well, I agree.
So I think we need to pull that bull out, bill out, and I think you need to talk to them and not pay that bill until it comes right away. As long as you pay them bills, old brother, they're going to continue to do that way, but you hold that bill up and say, hey,
come up here and fix it.
You come up here and fix this thing. You had it out. We never complained about it. I haven't. What they do to it, as long as it's fixed, right? You agree, Judge?
I agree. Let's pull it. Let John authorize John.
That's right.
Tell him, well, now you fix it right and we'll pay the bill. Otherwise,
it's a pretty nice bill. $2,200.
You put out $2,000 or something, you got to bring it back and put it back in. And
right.
Work. And
I've got a question here on the judge's bill this morning.
All right.
It's just too light.
He just got a folder here this morning, people.
I think it's him or the other.
Oh, yeah, I've got
some in there. Put some in there.
Just let them all in.
Stamps.
I got one other thing. The CAECO, Kentucky Municipal League Self-Insurance Fund, sent me a letter requesting a little more information so they could give us a quote on the workman's compensation premiums. I've got a letter from them. They had an authorization. The judge needs to sign an authorization so we can get a quote on it, and we need to send them a photostatic copy of our workman's compensation policy along with our payroll. I've got them.
All right, gentlemen, CAECO feels like if they can save us money, we're going to have to, through this self-insurance fund. And all they're asking for is the authorization to give us a quote, then we can either accept it or reject it. If you have no objection, I'll sign the authorization.
Put her away.
Okay. Gentlemen, if you've had time to look over the bills, we'll entertain a motion to pay the bills.
With that one exception.
Well, that this one exception. One, well, section. Let's pull it.
I'll find it here in a minute.
All right, just pull it when you find it.
There we are. $2,127.84.
All right, just pull that one. The rest of the bills, we have a motion to pay the bills. Gordon Hargrove, we'll just hold that one. We'll run her through if they come
I've
up
done.
And fix her.
I've done
fix her
as well.
Second motion, Wayne?
Yes.
Motion and second to pay the bills. All in favor of the motion say aye.
Aye.
Any opposed, nay. The motion carries. I would like to say for the benefit of the press, I don't know what the magistrate, my third magisterial district got cocky after he got elected to a state office. Felt like he